My guest is Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo. Mike, your email yesterday talked about maybe some law changes that could impact farmers' diesel fuel prices.
Yeah, I think they not only could, but they will impact this this market and the diesel fuel, because essentially the International Maritime Organization way back in 2008 and then reaffirming it in 2016 decided that on January 1, 2020, maritime sulfur fuel, meaning any fuel used around the world to ship cargo on the oceans and waterway, are going to have to go from 3.5% sulfur content to 0.5% sulfur content in terms of their sulfur fuel amounts. And Randy, that takes you from essentially 3.5%, which has been in place since 2012, to roughly zero. And the biggest issue here for the grain producer, livestock producer, anyone in the consumer for that matter, is that roughly half of the, and this is from an energy economist that I think really knows his business, he said roughly half of the world's refineries can't produce fuel to meet this new regulation. And what I'm telling clients is very simple. Number one, prepare for extra volatility in the next 4 to 6 months. Number two, prepare for price inflation on goods, given that 80 to 90% of the world's goods move across the waterways in this way. And it's really worthwhile to note, to connect the dots, that these big, large ocean-going vessels are essentially going to be taking on the same fuel that we run in our trucks on the highway. And so there's going to be competition out there that we've never seen the scale of before. And I say that in all sincerity and all seriousness as an analyst. Number three, and this is probably why I wanted to preface number three with what I just said, is get with your fuel supplier and stay in contact with them heading into this January 1 deadline. The EIA, the Department of Energy here in the United States, is about the only people I've been able to find with some credible or realistic price forecasts. And they're essentially saying wholesale diesel, the spread between it and Brent crude oil, which Brent crude oil out of London is still the world's benchmark as opposed to WTI here in New York, but the spread between that diesel in the wholesale market and Brent crude, they think could increase 20 to 25 cents a gallon or 11.5% to 14.5% from the base price. That's the place to start as far as what I'm projecting, is 11.5% to 14.5% increase in price. But that does not include potential spikes, and both myself and the Department of Energy feel as though the spikes will come early on because of the fact that we're really, I don't think, too prepared for this, because very few of the clients I've sent this email out to even knew about what was going on.
Well, this is the first time I had heard about it when you had mentioned it in your email report yesterday.
Yeah, it's called IMO 2020, after the International Maritime Organization. It's very important that you work in this into your busy, busy schedule this time of year, because it really is going to impact us substantially, and it could impact us quite a bit because of the fact that we just don't have the amount of refineries around the world to produce fuel on this scale from the research I've done. And so that's probably the biggest factor to start with, is to getting with your energy people that you work with. And if you have the ability for transport load diesel fuels, I'd be looking at that very, very hard. Obviously, call me if you have more questions, 866-471-2588, and I'll tell you as much as I can.
Yeah. The spillover, because truck fuel virtually is the same thing as we're using in our tractors as well, so that's going to impact that as well.
It really is, and you've got to wonder what it is going to do eventually to the biodiesel market. Will this finally ignite the biodiesel market? But that's way down the road for somebody like me, because what I'm most worried about is we have a terrific price spike of maybe even 20-25% right off the bat, because we have to compete with a brand new player that literally, you know, these people in the shipping lanes and the international maritime people, they literally ship 80 to 90% of the world's goods. And so I don't know how this is not going to give us more price inflation that is not led by people's wages going up, but just sheer prices increasing. So it's going to have ramifications, I think, even on a macroeconomic level, and really work into what happens with the dollar and things like that.
Well, typically, too, that impacts will impact fertilizer that's shipped, any seed, anything like that, too.
You really have the scope of it now, Randy, and what we're talking about here. If we are truly, as these the research I've done would say, we are now going to compete in the agriculture sector with the international shipping people like Maersk and these massive companies that ship all these goods. The price of cars, the price of fertilizer, everything will have to probably go up to a certain degree to match up with that wholesale bump in prices if we really can't produce enough to meet these requirements. So I've started to dig into the idea of, well, what if big companies like these major shipping companies decide, well, I'm still going to ship it with 3.5% diesel, or 3.5% sulfur in the fuel oil. What if I do that? What kind of a penalty will I have? What I'm finding out is you don't want to go down that route, that you really need to have that lower content fuel in place. The other thing I would mention is there is something called vacuum gas oil. This is something that will help get you down into that lower sulfur content in your fuel. That price is already running at a five-year high versus the London crude oil market. So we're already starting to see some of the price effects as this, you know, essentially is right upon us within the next 2.5-3 months.
Sure. And these shipping companies haven't slowly transitioned either. They're probably wait till the very end, huh?
It's very difficult, too. There's actually new futures markets being created in countries and in areas like Singapore or near Singapore just to deal with this new. I think this has just come on so quickly. It's been like a slow-moving avalanche, and I just don't think that the infrastructure has been in place. And that's why getting 6 months locked in to me is, and I hate saying this because I'm an analyst and a commodity broker, but it seems like it's a no-brainer to get 6 months locked in, especially given that our own refining capacity has been limited and that even the rig counts have been dropping pretty steadily since 2018, that even our domestic fuel prices are probably on the low end of the average price at this stage. But you add something like this into it, it's not hard for me to recommend 6 months the usage getting locked in.
Boy, that's for sure. Well, and it's going to take a while to get the infrastructure back up to handle that additional demand.
You bring up a really funny point, and funny, not ha-ha, but funny, interesting, because I remember when I first moved to Southern Illinois, where I first lived after shortly after college, I remembered a Marathon refinery being completely dismembered, taken apart in Southern Illinois, and moved over to India. And in my research, I read a quote from the Foundation for Economic Education, and it said, in the United States, federal fuel regulations have contributed to the closure of 70 refineries since 1990. I lived part of that because I lived in that community and saw people who lost their jobs essentially within 6 months because the refinery and the tighter regulations moved over to other countries like India. So I think I haven't gotten this far into it, but I'm going to guess we're probably at a disadvantage because of our tighter regulations. Maybe we're at an advantage because we've been this way for a while. That's something that is an ongoing piece of work on my research.
Yeah. Well, I had heard one time, too, that we have not built a new refinery in this country in, it's been 30 or 40 years.
And that's absolutely correct from what I've seen.
Well, that's something to keep on top of. I appreciate the heads up on it, and thank you much for the info. That's Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Randy Conan.